Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Our Father, we thank you for the blessing of studying your word together this morning. We thank you for the day that we celebrate, being Easter, being our resurrection day, but actually every Sunday is resurrection day for us. And because Jesus lives, we live. We really live. Because Jesus came to give us life and to give us it abundantly. We thank you for abundant life that's ours in Christ. We pray this morning that you would speak powerfully to us through our lesson. I thank you for every lady here this morning. I ask a blessing on them, Father, on their family. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue your work in us, that we might grow, that we might be useful. Thank you for the blessing of this class. Thank you for the not only the believing part, but the doing part, the doing that they do. Father, that just proves that their faith is real. And so I pray that you will just continue to use our class, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so each week as I prepare to teach y'all, I want you to look at this is this chapter. What I usually do is when I'm reading it, I underline what I think we need to really emphasize in Sunday school. So guess what I did? I underlined the entire chapter. And so then I said, goodness, that's the whole chapter. I just underlined it. But that's how much I really liked this chapter. And I think one of the reasons I'm enjoying this study so much is because it is so very practical. I love Bible study that is practical, that has shoe leather on it. And when you get up and you walk out of this room, you have been stirred up to walk in a direction that you can see clearly how it is you're to walk. So I want us to begin this morning by, let's look at the title first. The title of our lesson is just this, Some Practical How-To's. And I just thought, oh, this is my kind of chapter. But I want us to start this morning by talking about just a little bit about being a Christian. So let's go there first together. Our walk with God began by hearing the gospel. We heard the gospel message, and then we got it into our hearts, and we embraced it, and we believed it. So actually, being a Christian begins in our minds. So let's ask this question. What exactly is the gospel, Teresa? Well, that word gospel just means good news. Why is it such good news? It's because before Christ in my life, I was just a person who was dead. I'm using biblical language here. I was part of the walking dead because Ephesians tells us that we were dead in our trespasses and our sins. Another word that Romans use, Romans says we were hopeless in the world. Romans tells us we were helpless. We were without hope. We were headed for destruction. We were objects of the wrath of God. The wrath of God was just resting upon our heads. I was just doing my life during that time when I was among the walking dead, and I was doing my own thing in my own strength. And with weak wisdom, I didn't have good wisdom. I was just doing the best I could with all my issues. I had lots of issues. And then one night, sitting in a revival service, I heard a powerful presentation of the good news. The precious Holy Spirit was in that room that night. He came to me. He opened my eyes. He showed me my condition before Christ, before God, that I was hopeless, that I was helpless, that I was an object of God's wrath, that I was the walking dead. I saw all of those things that night. And he showed me there was only one way for me to be restored to in my relationship with God. I was hearing the good news. The good news was that God sent his son Jesus, very simple, into the world to pay the penalty for my wrath. Because what is the wages of sin? It's death. That's what I deserved. And he came, he took the penalty for my sins so that I might come to him and be saved. And God sent Jesus to rescue sinners. He rescued me. I'm never going to get over it. So our walk with God begins with hearing the gospel, hearing the good news, believing it. And that is what faith is. It's simply reaching out and embracing and believing what God says. And by the way, you just didn't decide on your own to become a Christian. No, it was the work of the Holy Spirit. He was there. He was opening your eyes. He even gave you a gift of faith to believe the gospel. I want to show you where that is in the Bible. Look on your handout at Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. That's exactly what it tells us. There Paul says, "For it was by grace that you are saved by faith." Now, faith is simply believing God. And then he says this, and that, now that word that is referring to the faith that you had to believe. And that faith to believe was not of yourselves. It was a gift of God. It's not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. You see, I can't brag, "Oh, I'm so smart. I believed in God, and I came to gospel. You should too, you dummy." No, it was all a work of the Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful for the work of the Holy Spirit. He was all involved in our salvation. It was a very supernatural, miraculous thing. Now, I can't explain it, but I can just tell you it happened to me. And I want to say this at this point. We're also seeing here right in our study on contentment. You know what? The Holy Spirit was involved in our salvation. He's also involved in our being in a state of contentment. He's very much involved. So I'm just going to make this statement. Contentment is also a very supernatural, miraculous thing. It's all of God's grace that comes to us. But the point I'm making about the Holy Spirit is just this. In the gospel message, being a Christian, now listen carefully, the believing part comes first, but, don't miss this part. It must be followed by the doing part. There's no such thing, ladies, as, "Yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I believe. Yeah, I've been born again. Yeah, I was baptized." There's no such thing as me making that confession apart from the doing of the Christian life. If you believe, you will do. They go together. Now, I want you to imagine a coin with me, and on one side of the coin is written faith. You turn that coin over, and on the other side of the coin is written obedience. And I'm telling you this morning, the two go together. How do I know you're for real? You believe and you do. They both go together. So let's fill out on our handout the equation there. Faith minus works. Faith is believing. Works is doing. Faith without works is what? It's dead. So write that on your handout. And where do you find that, Teresa? Well, just look in the book of James, because James was written to a group of people to help them see if they were for real. It's a whole book of tests that you take to see, am I really saved? And so we see there in verse 17, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead being by itself. Because real faith, listen, genuine faith will obey God. Will it be perfect? That's not what I'm saying. But the heart and the trajectory of a life that's truly saved is walking and panting after God. Now look again with me at another verse in James 1:22. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. You see, if you're just a hearer, you're deluded. Another word for that would be deceived. If you only hear the word and you don't do the word, you are not for real. So let's write this on our handout. Genuine faith comes when we, number one, hear the word. Write that on your handout. Number two, believe the word. And number three, do the word. We hear it, we believe it, and we do it. Now look at Romans 6:4. It tells us just that. Therefore, we have been buried with Christ through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might be raised to walk in newness of life. That's a picture of what happens to us. Easter is. He died, he was buried, he was resurrected. And somehow, in the economy of God, I don't know how, when he died on the cross, I was in him. This is the doctrine of baptism, of identification. God placed me in Christ. I died, he died. I was buried, he was buried. But then what happened? Raised to walk in new life. And that's where we are, ladies. We're raised to walk in new life. Now, we've been talking about contentment now for the last 10 weeks. And we've been going over contentment with a fine-tooth comb. Our foundation verses for our study come out of Philippians 4. Let's look at those together, 11 through 13. Paul says, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Paul, what's your secret? You said you've learned the secret. Paul, we want to know your secret. What is it? Here it comes. I've learned that no matter what in my life, I can do all things through him. And what does he do in me? He, look at your verse, strengthens me. That was Paul's secret. That's what he had learned. That's such a good verse. Look at Mark 12:30 with me. But before we do, let me say something else. We've gone over contentment. We've talked about loving the Lord with all our minds, right? We've dealt a lot with our thinking. But now we're going to look this morning at loving him with all our strength. Look at Mark 12:30. You shall love the Lord with all your God, with all your heart, soul, mind, and that last one is what we're looking at now. You're to do it with all your strength. How strong are you when it comes to loving God? Do you love God weekly? W-E-A-K-L-Y, not calendar week, but weekly, as in no strength. Is your love for God anemic? Or are you strong? Are you a strong lover of God? Are you a real muscle woman, is what I'm saying this morning. Are you serving him with a strong, healthy, vigorous, vibrant, powerful love? And exercising contentment means that we will grow in strength to love God in every circumstance and in every condition. Because when you and I go into a hard circumstance, how many of you are in a hard circumstance right now, this morning? When you go into a hard circumstance, and listen, you tell God, God, I'm choosing contentment. When you do that, you're growing stronger. Now listen to what I'm going to say, because it's very simple, but it's very important. When it is hard in our lives to be content, we have to make a choice. We must choose to be content. Put that on your handout. And when you do that, it's like you're in the spiritual gym and you're lifting weights in your gym, your spiritual gym. And you know, when you start working out, you start with the small weights first, and then you gradually progress to the bigger weights, and you begin to build your muscles, and your strength grows. And that's what we must do. We're making the choice. God, I'm choosing contentment. This is hard. I'm trusting you in this. And I don't want you to ever forget, but you're not alone in the gym. You're not alone trying to do this all on your own, because you have the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the living Christ is in you. And remember what 4:13 said out of Philippians? He promises, I can do all things through myself. No, through, say it with me, Him who strengthens me. He's in you. Now let's look at three exercises this morning that are going to help us move from discontent to content. I'm going to really hurry. They're very simple, but they will demand in your life concentration and commitment, especially the first one. So here's what I want you to write. Practice gratitude. Practice gratitude. Now, this means, ladies, getting rid of complaining. So put that on your handout. Gotta go. It's got to go. If you and I are going to lay hold of godly contentment, we are going to have to get rid of our enemy, and that enemy is complaining, grumbling, murmuring, looking at our circumstances with an ungrateful eye. That only magnifies our troubles. And this pattern of grumbling, whether it is just grumbling that's going on in your thinking or if it's actually coming out of your mouth, it will not allow contentment in your life. It'll stop contentment dead in its tracks. And even though our flesh really does enjoy and takes sort of a sick kind of pleasure in meditating on everything that's wrong in our life and feeling sorry for ourselves, we simply have got in our hearts to say, no, I want contentment more. I want contentment more than I want to wallow in all of that. Now, it will mean you cannot walk by your flesh, because your flesh just loves to wallow. And so you're going to have to learn to do spiritual battle. Put on your armor and put those fleshly desires to death. Let's write some things down about gratitude. It's something that must be cultivated and encouraged. It's got to be cultivated. So that's why I'm telling you it's going to take diligence, commitment. It's something that has to be nurtured and fostered in your life and promoted. And it's something that you need to make a daily habit. A daily habit. We need to verbalize our gratitude to God in prayer. Try that. Try speaking it out loud in prayer to God. And then try speaking gratitude in your family and with your friends. Practice that. Remember what Paul told Timothy about contentment on our handout. Look at there. He says, and having food and clothing, With these we shall be content. With what? What? Tell me. Food and clothing. Now, how many of you have lunch plans today? And how many of you have clothes on? And so what should we be? Content. Now, I loved her example of how to do this. She says, no, don't stop there. Go deeper. I want to read you what she wrote because it's just so good. Just a few paragraphs. She says, look how God has provided for you. When you sit down to breakfast, for example, spend a minute reflecting on how much God has done to put that little egg, toast, and bacon on your plate. Not to mention the hot coffee and the orange juice. Can you thank him for the chicken and the farmer and the field of wheat and the orange tree and the coffee field and the pig and the butcher and the baker and the trucker and the grocer? We're going deeper, aren't we? These are just a few of the countless links in the chain of God's amazing provision that brought you breakfast. Can you be content? Try this same exercise with your clothing. Consider how many hands were involved to clothe you and your family for just one day. Sweaters from sheep, shirts from cotton fields, shoes from cattle ranches. Where are the geese that filled my down coat? Where's the factory that made the buttons and the zippers? Consider how much and how many of God's creatures serve us in providing both our daily food and clothing needs. Can you thank God, who is behind it all, bringing food and clothing to his children every day for all of our lives? I thought, well, now that's good. That's a good idea. Let's go deeper in our gratitude. Just consider the providence in just these two areas of daily food and clothing, and it won't take a long time before you're seeing his hand everywhere. Do you ever just go outside? This is one reason I'm glad I have a little dog. Have y'all met Bitsy? Bitsy likes me, and only me. And if you come over, she's going to bark at you. But you just go outside, and I take Bitsy out. She's so little. Oh, that reminds me, I left Bitsy out. Did you let her in? Oh, gosh, I left her out. I'm going to have to go check on her. You know, it's such a busy morning. I didn't have time to wait for her, so I said, I'll come back and get her. And I didn't go back. But just when you're outside and the beauty of the weather, Mississippi has beautiful weather. We really do. And some days I just think, oh, this is just glorious being outside. I'm so glad I'm outside. The beauty of God's creation, the glory of his daily care. Think of the kindness of God to you and to your friends and to your family. Practice gratitude. And be diligent at it, as if you were learning a musical instrument. Spend time every day practicing it. Become a master of gratitude. Now, here's the second thing, subtraction. Now, this one was really, really practical. Teresa, what does practicing subtraction look like in my life? Well, this is what it looks like. When you're in a circumstance, when you're in a hardship, instead of thinking, oh, when I get out of this mess, oh, when I ever get a new house, oh, when I ever lose the weight, when I ever get out of debt, oh, when I ever get that new job, then I'm going to be content. No, I've got to change my perspective. I've got to not think that way. Because thinking that way allows my circumstance to have power over me. And it's giving circumstances authority over my heart. Instead of thinking that we will be content when the issue is resolved, instead we determine, and write this on your handout, to be content through the circumstance. Now, here is the reality, because we are in Christ, because we are in Christ, we have the power in our lives to go in the opposite direction. Put that on your handout. You have the power given to you by the Holy Spirit of Christ who's in you to go the opposite way. Now let me explain it further. Subtraction means we take hold of our desires. Yes, there are a lot of things I desire. They're not bad. But I take hold of my desires and I bring them to match my circumstance. For example, instead of being unhappy with my job that I'm in, instead of being unhappy with whatever situation I'm in, that job's just an example, I determine I'm going to be satisfied with what God is doing in my life right now. And I will say to God, God, you are sovereign over the circumstances of my life. God, I want what you have ordained for my life. God, you know what is best for me now. God, I rejoice in you anyway, even though I can't rejoice in my circumstance. So contentment is an internal thing. It's something that is humble. Is this on your handout?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't circle it. It's internal, it's humble, it's submissive to God, and then this, it gives thanks to God for all things. All things. Not just the good things, all things. It chooses not to fret or fuss or moan or complain, and it views such things as threats and enemies. Now, let me say again, I'm not saying that you should stop praying for that new job, or you should stop praying that God will resolve your circumstance and your issues. Yes, by all means. Take it all to God and let it all out in the throne room of God. But it does mean that I'm choosing to be content in my present circumstance when I pray. God, I choose to be satisfied with what you're doing in my life through these hard circumstances. So write it this way. Contentment makes the most of the circumstances now. It doesn't wait until things change. So what is subtraction, Teresa? Well, it's getting our hearts to match our circumstances. Now, it means we're going to focus on the good things that are resulting. We're going to choose to be comfortable in our hard place rather than uncomfortable. We are attuned to our present blessings rather than longing for what I don't have. We're growing, ladies. We're growing in patience. We're growing in wisdom. Now, reason with me. If my contentment was dependent on my circumstances, that's not a very good foundation, because you know what happens in life? Our circumstances are changing all the time. But when I let my contentment rest on the foundation of the sovereignty and goodness of God. Did I put that on your handout? When I let it, because I put here, add this to your handout. I don't think I did. Contentment has to be built on the foundation that God's in control, He's sovereign, and that God is good. And that's a sure thing. That never changes. His sovereignty and His goodness are a rock foundation. I'm safe there. My heart is safe there. I'm secure there. And you know what the result is? Look at me. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. He's producing things in me. He's producing humility. He's producing patience, contentment. Now, lastly, one more thing to mention, and I'm done. Weekly worship of God. She just adds that at the end. I think that's so important, gathering together with the body of Christ weekly, at least weekly, maybe more, because this puts your soul in order. It sets you straight. It sort of aligns you. It helps you to put your focus once again on your mighty, mighty Maker and Master. Now let me remind you, we are in Christ. Christ is in us. He is the one who is strengthening us. And I'm hoping this causes you joy this morning. And it's exhorting you to love God more, to love Him with more and more of your strength. Now, let me remind us of one truth as we close this morning, that seeking contentment is such a worthy goal. And that is because, look at the verse out of 1 Timothy 6:6, godliness with contentment is great gain. You need gain in your life? I'm telling you. Discipline yourself for godliness and seek contentment. Great gain in your life. Now, we've got a few minutes, and I'll come back up and close us in prayer. Let's go over our questions at the end of that chapter.